So today I'll be talking about an assessment that was done in Kenya about the leadership and management needs of health managers. And this was a collaboration between Management Sciences for Health and the Ministries of Health in Kenya, funded by USAID, to really look at what challenges health managers were facing, what skills they really felt they needed to be able to succeed on the job, and what could be done about that. And this was done in the context of a developing country that faced a lot of challenges within their health system. They were seeing a declining health sector expenditure percentage of their GDP, but paired with inefficient utilization of the resources that they did have available to them. There were inadequate management skills at the district level, which I'll talk more about, as well as over-centralized decision-making. Most of the decision-making was happening within the central ministries. Worsening poverty levels, increased burdens of disease, and human resource challenges such as recruitment, deployment, motivation, and retention. So within this context of a lot of need and challenges, we did this assessment in 2008, and it had three phases. The first was interviews and questionnaires with health managers across Kenya in both the public and the private sector. A curricula review with 12 institutions of higher learning that offered leadership and management courses within Kenya, and a stakeholder discussion to validate the findings of the previous two phases. The two deliverables that came out was an assessment report, which has now been finalized by the Ministries of Health, and a leadership and management national strategy, which has been developed and is kind of waiting to be officially approved until the national training policy comes out so they can be paired together. The assessment was really looking at what challenges are the health managers facing at all levels and sectors, so again, both public and private, of the health system, and what preparation have these managers received, and what training opportunities are available to them to fill the gaps that they have from previous training that haven't been met, and what additional trainings do the health managers themselves feel that they need, what gaps have they identified for themselves. The overwhelming result is there's a strong need for leadership and management strengthening in Kenya at all levels. As this one district public health officer said, in pre-service we were taught to be in charges, but the task has been more enormous than taught. The training was not adequate. I only learned supply and procurement, human resource in theory and bits, but not into wider practice. And this is what people all over Kenya told us. And not. This is something in other surveys and interviews that Management Sciences for Health have done with health managers around the world. This is very common. Health managers all over the world are crying out, saying we really need to have more preparation in leadership and management. Very quickly after we graduate, we're being placed in these positions where we have to lead and manage a facility, a district, a province, and we were trained to and we thought our job was going to be to heal the sick. So when asked what training they wanted to receive to help them improve on the job, these are the top five responses that health managers said. The largest being management, so this is kind of general management administration, followed by financial management, human resource management, and leadership. And then you'll see procurement is up there. One of the reasons this is because Kenya had recently changed their procurement policies, and so a lot of the health managers wanted to know what were the changes, how did that impact how they were working on a day-to-day basis. And everyone really felt that health leadership and management was really important. I mean, you'll notice that this chart starts at 93%. There is a real felt need for the importance. People are recognizing that it's leadership and management is not something that's separate from health, and health is about the clinical issues they see that is integrated. So you see that this 99% is provincial general hospitals, 99 headquarters, 98.6 the provincial health management teams, the 98.3 is the district health management team, then other facilities are mostly private, and then the 95.1 is the district hospitals. And one of the reasons we hypothesize is you see that even though it's very slight, there's still a decrease from the provincial and headquarters to the district hospitals, is that the district hospitals are at a smaller levels, but as you get up to headquarters and you get up to these provincial teams, the management teams in the provincial hospitals, you have to oversee more and more, and you have more and more management responsibilities. So you see that as more integral to your job. So what we found, you know, again, the health managers were appointed and inadequately trained. They really didn't feel they had the preparation. It's like 74% of nurses and 70% of doctors said that they were either inadequately or not prepared at all in terms of leadership and management. And nearly all health managers were unaware of what was actually available to them to help fill in these management gaps that they were facing. So not only did they feel this gap, they weren't really sure what they could do about it. And the majority of health managers, when they started out in the profession, didn't realize that leadership and management was going to be a big part of their job. And you know, this makes sense, you know, even when we see on TV and doctors, think of the white lab coats and they're going around and helping patients. And that's what these medical students are expecting too, but no one's telling them anything different. It's not until they get out into the profession that they say, oh my goodness, all of a sudden I need to supervise staff, I'm responsible for budgets, I'm responsible for procuring drugs, for overseeing supply chains, and they haven't been trained on this. And their managerial performance as managers is constrained by the fact of their factors in their environment, because they're working with other staff and overseeing other staff that don't have leadership and management skills either. So they have poor performance. There's no clear career progression for them within management, so there's no clear way for them to continually gain skills as they move up the career ladder, as they take on more and more responsibility. And they also have scarce resources, so they're trying to make do with what they can while they're learning on the job. The current availability of leadership and management training is limited, and it's mostly centered, as you would imagine, in the larger provincial capitals, in Nairobi, the national capital. And it's not truly responsive to the needs that the health managers face. A lot of times it's very theory-based, it's very didactic, people standing up and lecturing about McGregor's theory of leadership, which is nice to know that, but when you're facing a challenge on the job, it's a little hard if you haven't figured out how to apply all those great theories you learned into practice to really do it in a just-in-time kind of a way. And the things that really make training valuable are the content suitability, so getting the right information at the right time, and the timeliness, again, getting it at the right time, and then a practical approach to teach people the things that they're going to need to do when they go back to the job on Monday morning, when they take on their first post, to really make a difference. So this is a graph of the availability of managerial training across the 12 institutions that we surveyed. Excuse me. See, the largest, almost 40% of the institutions offer senior management. So this is good for the people at the higher levels, again, but if you're a district facility and middle manager, it's not as useful. Then it's followed by a little over 25% project management, and then 25% financial management, computer applications, and you go down human resource, disaster management, and so on. And again, if you're in a very rural facility, many times it'd be very difficult for you to access these, even if they are available because of transport, the need to be away from your post, and funding for the tuition. So I think one of the things that is remarkable about this assessment is that the ministries saw this data. They really participated in creating the data instruments, collecting the data, and analyzing it. And so they took this and they ran with it. And they have been making significant changes in the way health leadership and management is addressed in Kenya as a result of it. And the first thing that they are doing is acknowledging that leadership and management training is not addressing the real needs of health managers and is not available to everyone who needs it. They are creating national training policy and a standardized curricula on leadership and management for the pre-service, in-service, and senior leader levels that is focused on action-oriented and practical learning, so very experiential methods. And this is going to be required for every institution that teaches health leadership and management, and all health professionals will need to go through leadership and management course. This is, the details of this are being worked out in the national training policy, which is currently being developed. But the permanent secretary has said that this is a priority and this will be a requirement. The other major action that's happening is priority hospital reform. This is being piloted in 3 facilities, and this is to address the challenge of over-centralized decision making. And the goal is to establish autonomous provincial hospitals, which they call Level 5. And this is looking at reforms in a variety of leadership and management type areas within a provincial hospital. So you're looking at human resource management, pharmaceutical, laboratory, financial, M&E, HMIS, the health management information systems, quality assurance, and even the infrastructure and equipment. So what really made this possible? Because I think it is very special to see an assessment turn into such significant action. And it was really because the data was owned by the ministries of health. And this ownership then turned into action because the people who were responsible for the managing and overseeing the assessment are now responsible for turning it into action. So they have been through this process from the beginning. They have great ownership and are now great champions, but not only do they have that, it is now part of their performance plans that they make action on the curriculum reform, on the priority hospital reform, and some other things related to leadership and management, and they are held accountable for that. And they have the support from the highest levels. As one of the permanent secretaries heard, which is kind of like a second, third tier from the minister, that when he heard this data, he said, we needed this yesterday. And this data was so important to them. And part of this is because of this accountability that now is being put into place in Kenya, where health managers have performance plans that they are held accountable against. And this is really a great thing because it's moving people from, you know, doing activity to really focusing on goals and accomplishments and something that will have a lasting impact, but it's also exposing leadership and management gaps. So as Dr. Kiambadi, who was a team leader for the assessment, said, effective leadership and management are the foundation of quality and responsiveness of the health sector. And using this data from the assessment, the ministries have really felt this and are really taking leadership and management and making it the foundation of strengthening their health system, which is a big focus for them. And not only are they an example within their own country of improving leadership and management and their dedication to this, but they're also becoming an example to the wider world. Different people from the team have spoken at international events in the United States and through World Bank conferences. They have been guest presenters on virtual seminars in English and Spanish on the MSH LeaderNet community of practice. So a lot of people are starting to hear about them and learn about the great results that they were able to achieve. So I will take questions if that's okay. Yes?
Do you know, in the curricula that they were, I guess, developing to sustain or build leadership and management, was there any separation between developing leadership versus management?
Yes.
So they actually separated them out and not just called it, you know, leadership management?
Yes. So the idea, the definitions that they are working with,
yeah,
is that management is kind of the day-to-day management of
managing
things.
Yeah.
Right, and so it's like effectively utilizing your resources to achieve results, whereas leadership is more setting the future vision, motivating staff, moving people forward, and so that's how they are kind of dividing it up, and they have separate modules on leadership and then separate modules on management, which is broken down into human resource, financial, logistics, all the different things. And it's based on, the curriculum is based on competencies that have been identified by people in the professional associations, the ministries, and the academic institutions. They sat down in a workshop and said, okay, well, what do people really need to know at these 3 different levels? Mm-hmm. And are developing the curricula around that, those competencies that were identified.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions?
Okay.
Great, thank you. And if you have any other questions afterwards, I'm happy to talk with you. I also have a 4-pager on the assessment if you have something you'd like to take away with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was an excellent presentation.